Captain O'Dever. Her voice startled him from his reverie. He turned and saw Lady Nerissa de Montfort, she of sunshine and sea nymphs, standing a few feet behind him in the darkness. He scowled.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Captain. Are you quite well?
Aye, of course. Why wouldn't I be?
You looked so sad standing there.
I'm fine, he said, a bit more curtly than he intended. What can I do for you? She cleared a silky hank of long blonde hair from her eyes.
My pride has lost the battle with my appetite, I'm afraid. I come to you in defeat.
You're hungry, she sighed. Famished. I sent down supper. Did you not eat it? She looked down, unable to meet his eyes, and he suddenly understood. No doubt she couldn't stomach whatever his cook, who was as useless as tits on a bull, had sent her. Spoiled aristocrat. He'd bet she'd never had to live on the broth of potatoes, fish, and onions, just to quell the screaming of a hungry belly. He bet she'd never had to. The thought died in his head. She was a lady. A feckin' lady, for Christ's sake. L-A-D-Y, lady. She couldn't help the circumstances of her birth, any more than he could help his own. It was not her fault. She'd had more of absolutely everything in one day of being the daughter of an English duke than he'd had in 14 years of being the son of a poor Irish fisherman. He sighed, feeling like a sack of shite. Dirty spoon again? He asked, trying to strike a note of humour. She shrugged and joined him at the rail, not too close, but near enough that they could converse. He found his gaze resting on her small hands, on the fancy white lace that fell from her elbow, fluttering over her wrists and emphasizing her fine bones and innate elegance. Slimy gruel? She would not meet his gaze, and he sensed that she herself was aware of her own ridiculous demands and was ashamed.
Maggots, she whispered, looking down. They were in the bread.
Of course they were, he wanted to say. Hardtack is full of them. You pick them out and dunk it in your lobscouse, shove it in your gob and wash it all down with your grog so you don't remember how bloody awful it is. What the devil's the damn problem? Lady. L-A-D-Y. Lady. That was the damned problem. I'm beginning to regret taking you and not your brother, he said in exasperation. You're a pain in the arse. She stiffened.
Well, I didn't ask to be here.
Aye, and the sooner you're gone, the better.
I could not agree more. But in the meantime, you could at least ensure that I don't starve to death. Nobody's starving you. You're just damn picky. And you are callous and rude.
No argument there, he glared at her. Will you eat an egg or two?
She glared back. Boiled? God almighty. Because I'm certainly not expecting them to be coddled and served in a china egg cup.
Well then, 'tis glad I am to hear it. Because high expectations will only lead to disappointment, and the divil only knows we failed your high and mighty ladyship in everything else.
Not everything, she said beneath her breath.
Oh,
your objectionable language aside, you have been a gentleman, she allowed with pointed reluctance. He made a sound of hopeless frustration and gazed out at the horizon, thinking he'd heave the ship to in the morning, so Cranton could catch her a fish for breakfast. No worms in that. Nothing to complain about, and the damn thing would be fresher than anything she'd find on her plate back in that fancy townhouse she must inhabit in London.
I've been a gentleman. But saints alive, woman, you push the limits of my patience, you do.